Welcome to Gautrain Talks, a podcast series for people on the move.
Welcome to the Gautrain Talks podcast station, the place to be for all matters related to the Gautrain and how it came to be South Africa's first ever rapid rail link. Today we are looking at economic development and the role the Gautrain has played in driving economic development in the Gauteng province ever since its inception back in 2010. That's 13 years of operation now and a huge impact on the areas and regions that the Gautrain operates in. So let's get the thoughts now on that subject with Gautrain Management Agency Chief Executive Officer William Dax. William, thanks for joining us. Let's just start with some background on yourself. As you first joined the business back in 2010, and you've held various roles in the organization prior to taking the CEO's position back in 2020.
That's right. How many years? That's 4 years. 4 years on the job, Dylan.
Yeah. Yeah, your roles are including a chief operating officer as well, obviously giving you a good background and a grounding for perhaps our conversation today as it relates to, you know, economic development. And let's get to the topic at hand. In your view, how has the Gautrain system contributed to the economic development and growth of the Gauteng region since its inception, in your view?
Dylan, what a journey. You know, we started this even before 2010. I was working on the project from the Treasury point of view. And back then, we spoke about the theory of economic impact, you know, and if we had a train system and we built it, we knew it would have an economic impact. But just how that, you know, kind of worked out and what it's manifested itself at, we didn't know. So let me give you like a small example. Yeah. If you're talking about the economic impact of a construction project, there's a model, it's called the input-output model. So the input would be you go and build something. And the output is that you create jobs, you know, you buy the materials to do whatever you're doing, and that has an impact on the economy. But it's quite simplistic because we could go and dig the biggest hole in Gauteng and fill it with concrete, and that would have an output. You know, we'd have bought the concrete, we'd have mixed it, we'd have used labor and that. What really matters is the efficiency of what it is that you've built. Now, let's pick a nice neutral example. You could build a dam that doesn't work and the water wouldn't flow. And then people would, there would be no efficiency there. You know, you could have a power station, now we're getting a bit closer to reality, which doesn't work properly. So you've had the economic impact, but you're not getting the results. So what we've looked at from a Gautrain point of view is, what impact has this had, not just on the economy, this input-output thing, but how has it changed the city and the way that people live in that city? And that's been the fascinating journey. So let's keep it nice and simple. Let's just, in our minds, take a trip on the Gautrain and hop out at Sandton Station.
Yeah.
And you get out and you look around and you see so many new buildings around there. We didn't build them. They're not part of the Gautrain, but they're there because of the Gautrain. Then we'd hop on the train and go to Midrand and look at the enormous number of townhouses and apartment blocks that have been built. Again, we didn't build them. They came because of the Gautrain.
Yeah, a positive byproduct.
Exactly, exactly. And why do people do that? Why does a developer build a building in Sandton or an apartment block in Midrand? It's because the train service is efficient and it'll move people to and from their work efficiently. So that's kind of been the evolution in our thinking, is that if you build something and you're efficient about how it operates, you have this massive impact on people, society, and the economy.
Now, there's no doubt, William, that when you talk about projects of this size and scale, there are different stakeholders involved, and stakeholders and different stakeholders invariably have different goals. So how has Gautrain worked with the likes of your local government and other stakeholders to ensure that economic development goals align with the expansion and operation of the train system that you operate?
Yeah, that's been a tough experience because, again, Gautrain's unique. There was no way that we could pull a cookie cutter example of how to work with municipalities and developers.
You're pioneering new ground.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So a lot of it, I'll be quite honest, happened organically. You know, go back to our journey on the train, the Sandton and the Midrand example. We never contacted those developers. And the city, at both of them in Joburg, the city would have given development rights and approvals without necessarily consulting us. So it's not maybe so much us controlling this as it is enabling the cities to be able to decide how their city works best. We've obviously done a lot of work. It's not that we ignore the cities. We talk a lot about integration and where we'd like to be going in future, how we'd like the station precincts to develop. But I'd describe the relationship as mutually beneficial and not as formal as people might believe.
Okay. Now, what about the support of local businesses? I think you touched on it just now when you talked about some of the development around the stations that obviously has emerged. But what about local businesses, aspects of job creation, skills development, related to the Gautrain, the region in which Gautrain operates, and the overall benefits of Gauteng as a province? What have you seen?
Yeah, well, let's break it into two parts because we have a massive impact on businesses. The first part would be the businesses that kind of form part of what we call the supply chain for Gautrain. And it can be really simple. Someone produces cleaning products and we clean our stations. So we're going to buy cleaning products and that'll work its way up. We also buy very high-tech equipment. So that supports, let's say, in the rail industry, we buy buses. And those aren't necessarily businesses around the stations, but they're part of our, let's call it the ecosystem.
Yeah.
To give you a sense of the numbers of this, just in terms of local goods and materials, over 6 billion rand that we've spent.
Sure.
We can measure this. And you can imagine the impact that has on small businesses. It keeps them sustainable. They hire people. And we're incredibly proud of that. The second part is around the stations. You know, this is the part where we're not directly involved. But it's where a developer says, I'm going to build an apartment block, a massive apartment block. And they then hire construction companies, workers, buy materials. We don't measure that, but we can see with our own eyes that it's happening. And those businesses then, I guess also we could say join the ecosystem, although in a much less formal and structured way.
The sort of snowball effect.
The snowball effect, I like that.
Yeah, I mean, you create an environment in which people can thrive, and then that just sort of knocks its way down the value chain.
Yeah, exactly. And as I'd said, you know, that works because the train system's efficient. The train will leave at 7:02 in the morning with sort of 98% reliability, which is remarkable.
Have there been any other specific businesses or industries that you've come across that have sort of spring to mind when you think of that knock-on effect, that snowball effect, as it relates to the Gautrain operation and development and evolution?
I think the one that's the most recent is the buses. And you might have noticed these very funky-looking new buses. They're slightly smaller than the old Mercedes-Benz buses. They're local, built out on the West Rand. 125 of them now buzzing around, bought by the Gautrain, built in South Africa, the jobs that it created, and again, those supply chains that feed into them, the multiplier effect, the snowball effect, yeah. I love that, is massive just on those buses, you know.
Welcome back. We're still with William Dax, the Chief Executive of the GMA, looking at how the Gautrain has driven economic development in the Gauteng province. William, we closed off that first segment looking at some of the businesses and industries that have benefited from Gautrain presence. But what about drilling down a bit now and looking specifically at the stations themselves? Any noticeable development taking place around these stations and in surrounding areas? I think you touched on it earlier. Anything else that springs to mind in terms of how those areas around the stations have developed and evolved?
Yeah. So again, let's take this imaginary trip on the train and hop off it. Let's take Centurion Station now. The first thing that we would notice is that there's nothing inside the station. It's parking and drop and go, and outside there's building activity. And that is, I think, one of the big deficiencies that we've got. We've got to change this, is that our stations were designed as railway stations, and they're quite sterile. They're very safe, very clean, very sterile. So outside of them, developers have come in. But why can't those developers be inside the station? That's the mindset change that we need that we need to have. Each station is unique, though. You know, if you went further up the line and we hopped off at Pretoria Station, student accommodation is popping up around the station. So some developers said, "Hang on a minute, I can build student accommodation here, and students can travel to some of the campuses in Johannesburg." So that kind of connectivity that the Gautrain provides is really it's really insightful that we can move people over much longer distances. You don't have to build student accommodation on the campus anymore. So I think these are some of the observations and the things that we've learned over the last few years.
Coming back to that potential development within the stations, is there any international best practice or examples that have come before Gautrain that you see an opportunity to perhaps replicate?
Absolutely. You know, I'm thinking the example that probably most recent is in London, you know, this Crossrail initiative. Yeah. I don't think they even own the stations. I think they say, "We're coming. We would like to have access and escalators and get people in and out." But the private developers essentially build the station. And that's good for customers, the people on the trains there. They can shop, and maybe even there's offices. They could probably even live there. So that's what we want to replicate, this wonderful phrase of transport orientated developments, people building on stations, not building stations for people to drive to. So absolutely, great examples around the world.
I suppose it's a new South African concept. We're perhaps still getting our heads around this new initiative, a high-speed rail network in an area such as Gauteng. And perhaps those opportunities are slow to come because people are still getting their heads around a new concept.
That's right. And I think it goes to the history of transport, and especially rail in South Africa. It was there as a way of just moving people from point A to point B. I can't think of a single station. I grew up in Cape Town that you kind of wanted to go to. You know, you went there because you had to get somewhere else. And that mindset change is quite recent. I'd say it's only in the last 10 years that we've got serious about it. One of the challenges is that we haven't designed our kind of institutional frameworks around that. So a small example would be here in Gauteng, we limited in terms of what we could put into a station. You know, so you couldn't have a bank, but you could have an ATM, for example. It's crazy rules that have developed over time, and we've got to change that. You know, we've got to catch up. 21st century thinking's got to come into play now.
So you've touched on some of the economic development that has taken place as a result of the inception and the operation of the Gautrain. But has Gautrain itself taken any steps on its own part to drive economic development around, whether it's around stations or just in the general areas in Gauteng?
Yeah, we've taken our first two toddler steps. The first was we opened up licensing renewal centres in two of our stations, Centurion and Midrand. And this was driven by COVID because, I don't know if you remember, but there's a massive backlog in driver's licence renewals. So we opened these up. We've been flooded. That was 2 years ago. I don't think there's been a quiet day as people come in and renew their licences. And they like it because it's very accessible. And obviously, we try and run it on Gautrain standards, fast and efficient. So that's toddler step number one. Number two is to open, don't laugh, a coffee shop. The first retail in a Gautrain station should be opening up early next year. We have to figure out how we reconcile that with people not being able to eat and drink on the train. we'll figure that out. But it's an important step, because if we can take those baby steps and prove that this works, I think as we get to the end of our concession in 2026 with Bombela, and we can change some of our rules around eating and drinking and cleanliness, what you can and can't do on stations, we'll open up these opportunities more and more.
Well, again, if we come back to the aspect of international best practice, and you go through any station in London, you know, a coffee shop is very much a part of the experience. And for many people, commuters, you know, the grabbing the coffee and going is part of their commuting experience.
Exactly. You know, and you see happy people with steaming cups of overpriced coffee. I think we've all experienced that. But it becomes part of the journey.
Yeah.
I think it's the future. We've got to go there.
Lastly, William, any other plans or initiatives in place to further integrate the Gautrain system with local development projects or urban planning?
Yes. I think, you know, and I touched on this earlier, in 2004, 2005, when we were designing the Gautrain, we didn't talk to developers. And we spoke to cities, but we didn't speak to them about enabling these developments. So I think going forward, whether it be an existing Gautrain station or a new one as part of our expanded network, I think the rail and or the rail component, the station, and whatever commercial development must be designed in one. You know, retrofitting stuff is going to be difficult. So if I were to use the one word, it would be we've got to be more proactive.
Yeah. With your partners, with the opportunities, seeing opportunities, the learnings, I guess, as you go along the way?
Yep.
All part of that process.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. You know, and often sitting down and having a dialogue with someone while you've still got a blank sheet of paper is a lot easier and more proactive than sitting afterwards and saying, here's our station. What do you think we can do with it? So just changing the timing of those discussions, a simple change like that will really have a big impact, I believe.
Lastly, suffice to say, the future of economic opportunity around the Gautrain remains bright. It's still in its infancy, you would say, even though we're 13 years down the line. But the opportunities, economic development-wise, remain huge.
Dylan, absolutely. You know, and if to use your bright analogy, I think the economy is dim at the moment.
Yeah.
You know, I think we're all feeling that we need to say things like the Gautrain are opportunities to just turn that switch up a bit. We've got a fantastic private sector. They've got access to capital. They want to invest. If we from a government side can give them that platform around which and in which to invest, the economic impacts will flow, guaranteed.
Agreed. Well, William, we'll leave it there for now. Thank you for your time and your input. We value your insight and learnings on the subject of economic development and the Gautrain's role in that. You've been listening to William Dax, the Chief Executive Officer of the Gautrain Management Agency. To listen to this and other interviews about the Gautrain, please tune into our podcasts at Gautrain Talk Station. You can also access further material on our website. That's gautrain.co.za, or follow us on X.